Curiosity did not kill the cat. It released the Kraken.
Fiction or fact? Octopus has 1, 2, 3 hearts. It's a fact. How do I know? I'm curious. Who's curious isn't furious. And that's this week's topic. Stay tuned.
Hello and welcome to your Sanity Library, where I am to accompany you on the path to yourself. Today, we have a topic for letter C, and the main one would be curiosity. I would like to start with stating that there was a time in your life where you believed that your mom disappeared when playing peekaboo with you, like so. So, do you think it is possible that there are things that you're not aware of or yet to discover despite being all grown up and educated? I say yes, for sure there are. Curiosity is a great driving power of all the progress, and of course curiosity must have been at the birth of all great inventions of humanity. How can we use it to our advantage on our journey to ourselves? Here goes the first exercise. Imagine, hypothetically, that the universe, God, or whoever you call for when you're in trouble, have our ultimate good in mind at all times. Whatever happens to you is for your good. That universe has it all figured out because they see the bigger picture and sees things that we don't. Okay? Take this as a fact and then try to approach anything that happens to you with curiosity. If you change the approach from, why is this happening to me again, for example, to, why could this be happening to me? What good could come out of it? Or you can also do it retrospectively, because more often than not, you will see, if this guy didn't dump me all these years back, I would hardly be where I am now, right? So use curiosity in this way, trying to figure out what could be in it for me, or thinking, this happened because that needed to happen, and so on. Another thing to ponder about is this. We will get to it more in detail when we will be talking about feelings in the coming weeks. For starters, the curiosity can give you a lot of help when dealing with your emotions. For example, you get angry or upset, and instead of letting yourself being overwhelmed and overpowered by your emotions, try to just stop and observe, as we learned in the previous exercises, and then approach it with curiosity. But really, ask the feeling, man, where are you coming from? What are you trying to tell me? And then it will feel less overwhelming because, you know, you will be the observer rather than the victim drowning in discomfort. Another great exercise where curiosity can be used is helping in relationships. Did you know that if you know the movie Finding Nemo, if you don't, pause and go watch it because it's brilliant. No worries, there will be no spoilers. I will just say that in the original version of the movie, the opening scene wasn't there. And the test audience then hated Marlin, the character of Nemo's father, because they didn't understand why he was acting the way he was acting. Why was he just such an asshole to his son? Nobody knew. While now, as we all know the movie, we adore Marlin, because from the very beginning, we understand where he was coming from when he was worried about his son all the time. Think about this when you approach people, when they act out or they act weirdly, approach it with curiosity, thinking to yourself, what's wrong with them? Where could this be coming from? Again, I think this allows you to take a step back and take more of an observer role rather than the victim of circumstances or other people's behavior. Curiosity can also be very insightful when it comes to perception of our failures, because failure, as we perceive it, is basically nothing else than us learning. As they say, sometimes you win, sometimes you learn. And if you approach the events that may seem like failures with your curiosity hat on, you will observe all the ways that this failure taught you new things, things that you learn from, and that you will avoid in the future. So here, curiosity is again taking you a little bit further from the issue or the perceived issue, helping you to observe it, take from it what needs to be taken from it without drowning in it. Last but not least, curiosity is a very good way to practice mindfulness. Let's say you find a flower outside. Just take it. Look how beautiful it is. Does it smell? Can you put it apart? How does it feel? And so on and so forth. We are coming back to the body and attention exercises in here a little bit. Curiosity rules the world. Join in.
Since we are talking curiosity, I think this guessing game should not be omitted. So go ahead and let me know, can you guess this magical creature?
It's unbelievably rare, almost impossible to exist. Yet, here we go. It's made of stardust, with bones stronger than steel, constantly rebuilding itself. It has a heart that beats 100,000 times per day, pumping over 2,000 gallons or 7,500 liters of life through its veins. It carries a blueprint so powerful that if unraveled, it could stretch to Pluto and back. It's home to trillions of tiny creatures that work in harmony to keep it alive. Despite all odds, the probability of this creature existing is 1 in 400 trillion it came into existence. So do you know what it is? It's you. You are the most improbable magical being on this planet. And that's not just an opinion, it's science. The sources are detailed in the description. I found these mind-blowing facts in the book called The Body, The Guide of Four Occupants by Bill Bryson. And in Carl Sagan's famous idea that we are literally made of star stuff. Treat yourself like the miracle you are. You have already beaten the odds.
I have another C subject that I wanted to address today, and that is the act of celebrating. And I'm not talking celebrating your birthday or your wedding or the big things, but celebrating little stuff. I believe the constant state of being unsatisfied and never happy and always looking for more stems from the fact that we don't celebrate our little wins. There is nothing wrong with wanting to achieve more and, you know, aiming high. That's great. But we should never forget to look back and admit that we already achieved our little steps. It might sound insignificant, but it makes a huge difference. We do tend to concentrate on the negative and always look ahead to achieve more and go further, move forward. But we get so wrapped up in constantly moving forward that we don't look back and appreciate ourselves for what we already achieved. And it is an important part of the process, because if we don't celebrate little things, we might just as well never celebrate anything. And that would be a shame. We should try to celebrate little things and have a reason to be happy every day. For example, let's say that you give yourself a goal to improve your sleep hygiene and go to bed every day at 10. I recommend. Very good. Sleep is so underrated. Anyway, so let's say that you stick to your goal and go to bed at 10 on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, and then on Thursday, for one reason or another, you will go to bed later, at 11 even, or after 11. I will bet you anything that you will give yourself a proper shit for the Thursday failure, while you took the Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday achievement as a standard. It was not a standard each and every day. It was a step towards reaching your goal. And you should have said, well done, you did it today. And this is what I'm talking about. So don't forget to tap yourself on the shoulder for any little step that you achieve, because every journey consists of little steps, not just reaching the summit. So I hope that you will practice, that you will let me know what you think, which part of today's video talked to you the most. I will be looking forward again next time. Don't forget to subscribe. Save this video so that you are able to come back to it if you fall off the wagon. Let me know what you think. Be kind to yourself and to others and to me in the comments. See you next time. Subscribe.